Welcome to Black Noise Radio. My name's Black Betty, and it is International Women's Day. That lovely song there from the girls from Titters, Inside My Kitchen. Hope you're having a deadly, deadly International Women's Day so far. It's about 6 minutes past 11 o'clock here on 855 AM 3CR Radio. And on the program today for the next hour, I'm very lucky just to be talking up all things about women. That's right, because it is IWD Day. And very happy this morning to have Judith Ryan in the studio with me from the National Gallery of Victoria.
It's lovely to be here today, Black Betty.
Thank you so much. Lovely to have you in the studio as well, rather than just do one of those phone interviews. You've put together a very special exhibition on at the NGV, Who's Afraid of Colour, Judith?
Yes.
How wonderful.
Yes, it's the biggest exhibition I've ever done at the gallery. This is my 40th year there.
Wow, and featuring all women.
Yes, only women. And from the collection, except for one work we borrowed from Bindi Kolchoka, 118 Indigenous women artists are represented.
Is that right? 118?
Yes.
Is that from all states and territories
we're talking, yes, Judith? Yes, it is.
Oh, that's lovely. You've got that whole coverage from groups from across the country.
Major figures in the whole story of the evolution of Indigenous women's art practice across Aboriginal Australia and, of course, the Torres Strait. The thing is that it is a show that survives. It's great art.
Yes.
It's art by artists who happen to be women. It's very contemporary. It's very modern. It's very daring. It's about artists who take a lot of risks
in
their
practice.
Sounds like
a deadly Aboriginal woman to me.
Yes, I think so.
You're describing.
I think so. And the thing is that it covers six gallery spaces. It is huge. And when I started at the gallery, I worked on a show called Aboriginal Australia. 328 works are drawn from a lot of, you know, right across Australian museums, and it toured Australia. And not one of the works in that exhibition in 1981 was by a woman. No named Aboriginal women were part of that exhibition.
Wow.
So what this exhibition shows is that from the mid to late 1980s, women started to make art, started to be given opportunities to paint on canvas. They had been working in batik or weaving, but their work wasn't considered art until the late 1980s, early 1990s. So the exhibition sort of looks at that period, 1990 to now.
You just mentioned there, Judith, that their work wasn't considered Aboriginal art or art until now.
Yes.
Why was that? And
women were weaving, making a lot of cultural objects, of course. They were also making batik at Urnabella from 1971 onwards. But
yes.
Really, that was considered craft. Or perhaps with the weavings, the women who made the objects, their names were not recorded, because this was customary with anthropologists and the way they collected objects.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
So there needed to be the Papunya Tula Revolution in 1971, which was, to begin with, a movement for men, not for women, to paint on canvas.
Absolutely.
With
you're correct. And tell us about that movement. What a powerful movement that was out in the bush.
Extremely powerful movement. And it has been discussed as being, Jeff Barden called it, a reperception of the continent, because it was a way of viewing country, the land and waterways, from a planar perspective, but also from a perspective of being inside the land, being at one with the land, you know, the spiritual sense of the land, being above it, being inside it, being underneath it in a way. So it's almost like four perspectives at once. It was Yuendumu, really, the Walpri community, where female anthropologist Francoise Dussart gave women the first chance to paint in their own right, using acrylics, first on koolamans and then on canvas boards and then canvas. And when Wallagalung artists started in 1986, women comprised 50% of the artists there. And we, you know, batik was very important as well because at Ernabella, Winifred Hilliard, who worked there for 32 years, she introduced batik in 1971, the same time as the Papunya-Tula movement started. And she invited Leo Brereton to come from New York to teach the Anangu women.
As you do.
And she didn't attend the workshop because she said the women will take over. They'll teach it. I don't want to learn. It's not about me. It's about the women.
How fabulous. Wow. And what a woman.
One of the things that art centre for women started in 1948 at Ernabella, and she made sure that it didn't matter what the women made. It might have been a bookmark, a Christmas card. No matter what they made, they were to write their names on what they made. Now, that was a sort of a revolution because here were the names of the individual makers being recorded. It had not been happening in other parts of Aboriginal Australia, which is shocking to us today.
Absolutely,
that,
isn't it?
That people are not given their individuality and allowed to be given the name. You know, this is the maker who has made this beautiful basket.
Yes.
This beautiful little bookmark or whatever they were making. They were making moccasins. They were making all manner of things.
And how powerful is that? Just that simple, little word. Eh?
And then these Anangu women went and taught the Imadjara and Aliyarawa women at Utopia how to use the Indonesian technique of the junting, the hot wax on silk. And Emily Carmart and Ware began to make batik, you know, in 1977, the Utopia batik group started for women, 80 women and one man.
Wow, 80 women.
Yes.
How wonderful. Wow.
So Emily worked in that medium for 11 years. And, you know, if we look at the emergence of women as major artists, really Emily was very, very instrumental and very important. Emily Carmart and Ware, born in about 1910, started painting on canvas in 1989. And when her work was displayed at S.H. Irvin Gallery, Sydney, with 80 other small canvases, hers was on the cover of the catalogue and everyone saw it and loved it.
Of course.
And wanted to buy one of her works. And as we know, she represented Australia at the Venice Biennale in 1997 in the Fluent exhibition with Judy Watson and Yvonne Coulmartre. And there we had the international recognition of Aboriginal women as makers par excellence on a contemporary art stage.
Wow.
And, you know, with her success, she was emulating and she was surpassing the men across the Western Desert, because her paintings defied what had happened previously. Her work could not be read as any sort of map or, you know, she covered the linear markings from women's body paint, the Awulya markings, with layers and layers of dots, and they looked conceptual. There was no sort of, there weren't many elaborate stories written down. The works were themselves of immense power, and of course they were about her birthplace, Al Alkara, her grandfather's place. But Utopia Station, the Imadjara people had lost their land in 1937 when the borders of the pastoral lease were drawn over Utopia Station, and Emily Carmart and Ware had to work doing stock work because she was a strong woman.
Wow.
So she worked only for about 7 years in the painting medium, and her art went through different periods, and her final works were just, you know, were huge paintings about the pencil yam, which is just the linear markings of this tuberous plant growing underground, and then as it ripens, cracks forming in the soil, the linear markings of the women's Awulya ceremonies and so on. So that is sort of one story, the emergence of painting. But then again, the exhibition also looks at revolutions occurring in other parts of Australia.
Okay.
For example, we have a huge representation of weaving.
Yes.
Particularly from Elko Island, from Ramanginning, from Milangimbi. We've got some extraordinary woven conical baskets, dilly bags, and large baby baskets and other things. We have weavings by Delissa Walker from the rainforest area of Far North Queensland.
How does the women's weaving, I guess, compare, from, say, the women's weaving in Queensland you've just mentioned compared to someone up in the Northern Territory on one of the islands?
Different fibre is used. For across Arnhem Land, pandanus is used, processed and then dyed.
Yes.
But the stitches are all different.
That's right, yes.
And so in the rainforest area, different fibres are used, and the shapes of the baskets and the woven bags are very, very different. Lawyer cane is used in the rainforest for the handle. The fibre is not dyed. And similarly in the southeast, the coil woven sedge is what Yvonne Coulmartre really almost single-handedly, she's been responsible for the resurgence of weaving in southeastern Australia. Interesting thing is in the exhibition we have the southeastern weaving style of buttonhole stitch coil was transposed to Arnhem Land because there was a missionary who'd worked in Victoria, Greta Matthews. She went up to work in Arnhem Land. She had watched the women making the sedge baskets, and she taught the women across Arnhem Land and the missions up there how to use that stitch. And then they made it their own, and they made huge sort of carrying baskets for babies and for all forms of vegetables for gathering. And so we've got a lot of sort of those works in the exhibition.
Wonderful. I do remember just going a couple of years back at the NGV, at the Ian Potter Gallery, you featured a weaving exhibition. I think it was from Mullingimby, the works.
Yes.
Absolutely striking. Stunning pieces of work. There were lampshades that were woven.
That's right. They were from Elko Island.
Elko, that's
and,
right. Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
What a stunning
beautiful
exhibition.
Natural dyes.
Absolutely. But I remember at that time I did interview one of the women, and the cyclone had gone through up that way at Groot at that time.
Yes.
So they had to hire a helicopter and go onto the mainland and go and source their pandanus for that exhibition, which I thought was just beautiful.
Yes, and it's extraordinary. There's an artist who was on Elko, and now she's living in Milangimbi, and she specialises in making black dye. And all she leaves, there's a tiny leaf she leaves in the pandanus soaking in water, and overnight it turns black. So we have 8 black conical baskets suspended and a huge baby basket, and the work is just amazing.
Oh, how stunning.
But Arnhem Land's been very interesting and at the forefront of what's been happening as well, because if we look at the years before 2000, there were very few Yolngu artists painting on bark and no Kuningu artists, because it was believed to be something that men's art practice.
Right.
But from 2000 on, there's been a real resurgence, and women, particularly three sisters, Gulumbu, Barapu and Nyapa Nyapa, daughters of Mangaroi, from 2001 onwards have moved from printmaking to painting on bark, and their work is very, very different from that of their brothers, their fathers, their uncles and so on, because they have devised contemporary iconography derived from the stories that they learnt from their father, but with their own particular way, their own particular artist hand, and it defies precedent, really.
Wow, is that right?
Because they're not just following ordered lines of cross-hatching and telling ancestral stories on the bark, but rather Gulumbu devised this idea of depicting the universe by looking at the night sky. She'd wow. been told stories from by her father of the seven sisters and the two sisters crossing the night star and forming constellations. But she said her idea was that in painting all the stars of the night sky, the outline of the star represented the known constellations, the dots, what was unknown in the universe. But she also had the idea that everyone can look at the night sky, no matter what colour, what race. And so everyone across the world would walk together and shared this sort of idea of the universe. It's quite breathtaking.
Wow.
Then Varapu paints her father's fire dreaming. But rather than in ordered sort of diamond designs and a lot of cross-hatching, she paints with this amazing sort of gesture so that it's as if you can sense the flames, the smoke, the charcoal, the sparks of this ancestral fire that broke out on the Gumart.
So you get a real sense of that coming through the work.
Whereas Nyapa Nyapa doesn't paint any stories.
Okay, yeah.
And her works have been described as spontaneous Zen because she's a mark maker. She just wants to make marks. And so what
do you mean by marks for those
marks,
of us who aren't
lines,
so archy?
Dots. Oh,
okay, just marks,
It could be figurative. It could be non-figurative.
Right.
And there's just this incredible, incessant drive to make art, to do drawing. And so during the dry season when there was no barks, she was given acetate, sheets of acetate, and she worked with a felt-tip pen. And we have 121 of these acetates just displayed on a black wall.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just drawing par excellence. Amazing. So that's really a revolution that's occurred at Bukalenge Molka, the art centre
of
Yirrkala. But I should sort of also tell you about the amazing works that are happening in Melbourne.
Yes, please do. Please do. There's
because,
some exciting things coming out of Melbourne.
There are some amazing bodies of work that we have in the exhibition.
Yes.
We have a whole room devoted to the work of Wathaurong artist Bindi Cole Chocker.
Fabulous work. By
not
Bindi.
Really yeah. Aboriginal series of 2008, which was shown at the Centre of Contemporary Photography here in Melbourne, was what provoked Andrew Bolt to launch his attack on Indigenous people.
Yes,
and
I do
remember
those years.
He lost that court case.
He did lose that court case. That's absolutely
We also
right.
have a fabulous series of Bendy's We All Need Forgiveness that was inspired by Kevin Rudd's apology.
Wow, talk about art provoking.
Yes.
Doesn't Bindi
yes.
Cole provoke?
And
that's
and
what we love
yes,
about
Yes, and
her
we
works.
Have a beautiful Miss Australia, a black Miss Australia.
Wow.
Wearing a barbed wire skirt made by Lorraine Connolly Northey, who's got a whole body of her work made from recycling materials from the tip.
Wow.
Her narbong, her woven bags.
Yeah.
And this work, the model was saying, well, you know, I have to keep explaining to people that I am Aboriginal because they can't believe it. In other words, she is so, and she's against the land rights flag. She looks beautiful.
Wow. She goes against the grain, this woman.
She does.
Nothing wrong with that.
She does.
Yes.
And
wow.
then we have a body of work, a sort of special body of work. Ioane Skes, the Melbourne-based artist.
I've heard of Ioane's work.
Her Blood on the Wattle, Elliston, South Australia, 1849, which is about the massacre that occurred with women being people being falsely accused of killing bullocks and being hurled off a cliff, and then it was discovered that Europeans, white Australians, had done the deed.
Mm.
So she has made a memorial to genocide.
Wow, how powerful.
There is a Perspex coffin and there are 400 black yams forming a burial mound inside this work. And just nearby on a black wall we have Marie Clark's Men and Women in Mourning, which is about women in the local community coming together to express it. The healing power of ceremony in dealing with loss in families.
Yes.
Indigenous
and Marie
families.
Clark
yes.
is a fabulous She's local a fabulous, artist as well. Yeah.
A fabulous local artist. And then we have a whole room devoted to the work of the Tiwi people.
Oh, how fabulous. I love their artwork.
And there's...
and Kitty Cantilla
the, yes,
features.
Kitty Cantilla yes. is specially featured.
Love Kitty's work.
Marianne Mungatopi, the last 15 drawings she made. So we have Tiwi... people coming together with the women's body designs, and we have, of course, men and women in mourning. So we have Tiwi men and women in mourning in a totally black room with tunga, with sculptures. So that's a special part of the exhibition. Thinking about the terrible thing that occurred when... of dispossession and loss. Yeah. We have a whole room devoted to the work of Julie Gough, the Tasmanian Aboriginal artist.
Okay. Tell me about Julie's work.
Julie is an installation artist, but she is very... She looks at history. She looks at... she's always looking at the archive. She's looking at the accounts of what has occurred in Tasmania. And she was commissioned for the opening of Federation Square, the NGV Australia, in 2002 to create a response to the Phillips Fox landing of Captain Cook, which was made, which was commissioned by the gallery for Federation in 1901. Now, he was living in London.
Okay.
So it is really the takeover of Aboriginal land. You've got, yes.
Absolutely. So, it was the start of the tragic times for us mob.
Yes, and Daniel Boyd and Gordon Bennett have also made responses to this work.
So I love Gordon Bennett's work. Don't even go there. Yes, oh, my goodness. What an amazing man.
That's amazing. Mm. So she made the Chase installation, which is nearly 400 tea tree sticks suspended from the ceiling, and there's little bits of red cloth tied to some of the sticks, because that is really the chase, the dispersal of Aboriginal people off their land, which occurred with the convict colony, the invasion, the British invasion of 1788. Her own painting, Imperial Leather, which is a Terry Towling Union Jack with little trophy heads, wax trophy heads, which look like soaps on ropes, because Imperial Leather is the name of the soap.
Yes.
And this was the whitening, the cleansing, the whitening of Aboriginal Australia. This is a very powerful, potent statement. Then there is her observance video, which is she's lying in the sandhills, taking footage of eco-tourists tramping across to Bruggina, her mother's country. She's imagining how it was when they came and took over Tasmania. So this is a very powerful room of contemplation.
That's next-level stuff, isn't it?
We've also got a room
how beautiful.
Just before that, there's a room of batik, silk batik, suspended from the ceiling. This is a homage to an exhibition, the first exhibition of Utopia Batik in 1981, which was called Floating Forests of Silk.
Wow.
And in that room we have Emily's first batik. It's a shirt.
Wow.
And then her first sort of... And we have work from Erna Bella Fregon and Utopia. They're just sort of beautiful silks. So you've got this very ethereal room, which follows from a whole room of Emily's paintings on canvas.
How lovely. I can actually picture this, envisage what they would look like hanging there and blowing in the slight breeze even.
Yes. And of course, there's also a special room with Yvonne Coulmartre and Auntie Joyce Mote from Victoria, Lena Newson from Tasmania, and Julie Gough's own kelp water container. The beautiful mariner necklaces of Auntie Lola Greeno and Corrie Fullard. And then we have two younger artists. There's Grace Lillian Lee. She studied at RMIT Fashion Design.
She's
a
amazing.
Torres Strait Islander.
Wow.
And so we have three of her body ornaments.
Excellent. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yes.
I love her weavings.
Yes.
She creates these amazing weaves, doesn't she?
And
bright, bold colours.
Yes, we have. And then Lisa Michael from Cape York, she's made three feather headdresses, just amazing.
Wow.
And then there is a whole room of painting devoted to the Matumili artists, the last Aboriginal-owned art centre to be established in the East Pilbara. 2006 it was established, and there is a huge Salt Lake painting that was made in 2010 and was hung at the Adelaide Biennale Before and After Science. And this work is 3 by 5 metres, and it's just the Salt Lake at Punmul from a bird's eye perspective. It's like a 5 metre Google Earth of this huge Salt Lake, as if you're flying over it.
How amazing.
Made by 12 artists and across 3 generations.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So that room is devoted to just the work of the Matu women. So this is our Western Australia, of course.
And the Matu women who were amongst the last women to come out of the desert.
Right. That's right.
Yes, which Bentley Dean and Martin Butler made a film, Contact.
That's right.
Yes,
and one of the works, which also depicts a salt lake, represents that very place, the last place which was shown in that very film that you're talking about.
Oh, beautiful country, really. Yeah. It really is. I'm so happy to hear Grace Lillian Lee is on display, as well as the other fabulous women you've got on the exhibition. How long is the exhibition running for at the
exhibition,
NGV?
Well, there's 2 stages. Mm-hmm. It's in 6 gallery spaces. 4 of the spaces close on the 18th of April. The last day.
Okay, yes.
But 13 and 14, which includes a lot of the bark paintings and weavings, continues for the rest of the year. And we're going to condense the best of the works in the 4 galleries and include highlights. So there will be a sort of revamped Who's Afraid of Colour, which is actually
excellent,
based on the Barnett Newman quote. He asked, who's afraid of red, yellow and blue? But I just changed it to who's afraid of colour because it has that other connotation.
It absolutely does. That was my next question. You beat me to it, Judith Ryan. It's been so lovely to have you in here talking all things Aboriginal art. I'm just interested to know what your thoughts are. I just wanted to raise something. Bob Catt has been in the press in recent months saying that he'd like to introduce legislation about Aboriginal art, just to make sure that we have a proper standard in this country. Do you think that's a good thing, to legislate Aboriginal art, to get rid of a lot of the, I guess, scrupulous traders or artists out there that are doing the wrong things? What are your thoughts on this?
I firmly believe that it's very important.
Yeah.
There has been a lot of scurrilous activity going on. There's a lot of sort of imitation work coming from Asia.
Yes.
There's also... it's very important for collectors to look very closely at the provenance of work that they are buying and to go into all of that, because if they work through the system of the government funded Aboriginal owned art centres, where there is some protection with documentation.
Of course, the certificate of authentication. Is that right, Judith?
Yes, that's right. And there are a lot of very, very good commercial galleries who always stand by what they sell. So they just need to do all their due diligence homework.
Yes.
And I just I did forget to mention that we end with a final room which is full of the work of the great Melbourne-based artist Destiny Deacon.
How fabulous.
I had left her off, and she's so much a part.
We saved the best for last.
Yes, with her, remember her Kitchen Koori exhibition down here in Melbourne. I mean, she's a Melbourne star.
So I love her. She is a Melbourne identity. We love her work.
Yeah.
The sister produces gorgeous artworks
yes.
and keeps pushing the boundaries to her latest works. You know, she's doing video work featuring those gorgeous little dolls.
Yes, well, she transforms those unloved dollies into superstars.
Oh, I love that, as you do. And I love that our artists are embracing the digital technology as well. Our women artists. because
definitely.
Is it the way things are going with the art world? Do you see that? Everything's being digitised
these days? Yes, I think that this exhibition shows that women and Indigenous artists work across media. They're interdisciplinary.
Mm.
And when they try new media, that's when the excitement happens.
Absolutely, yes.
But they also do amazing things with customary materials. For example, Manula has made a fish trap out of 360 tiny barks, all painted with the Japu designs. So this is a huge fish trap that's been made from 360 tiny pieces of bark.
Oh, wow. So this woman must have fabulous fingers to be able to work with such an intricate detail within the artwork.
She does, yes.
How fabulous. Yeah. We might have to leave it there for now, Judith Ryan. Thank you so much for coming on the program today. Curator, is that right? What's your official
title? Senior Curator of Indigenous Art.
Lovely. Yeah. Senior Curator, Indigenous Art at the National Gallery of Victoria. Judith Ryan, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
For coming
in. It was a great pleasure.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Happy International Women's Day to you.
Yes, and to you.
Thank you so much. You're listening to 3CR Radio, 855 AM. This is Black Noise Radio. My name's Black Betty. Right now it's time for a song. How deadly was that, hearing all about the Who's Afraid of Colour exhibition on at the NGV? Till about the 18th of April, there'll be other works on display till the end of the year. You might want to get down and check them out. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to one of my sister girls I'll be introducing you to. Her name's Chrissy, and she's from Cherbourg, and we'll be talking about Aboriginal women in the media. But for now, here's a song from this lady. She's from Sydney. Her name's Nadina Dixon. She's got a gorgeous voice. This is Aboriginal Land. You're listening to 3CR Radio. Welcome to our very special International Women's Day broadcast. All day, women on the airwaves right here at 3CR. My name's Black Betty. Good to be here. It's about 19 minutes away from midday and 14 degrees outside. Heading for a top of, I think, about 30 degrees today. Make sure you just stay hydrated out there. Find a nice shady place and just surround yourself with beautiful women like I'm doing today here in the studio. I'd like to welcome to the program now sister girl of mine who hails from Cherbourg Aboriginal community in Queensland. Welcome to Black Noise Radio. Chrissy, are you there, Chrissy?
Yeah, I'm here. How are we?
Hello, my sister. I'm better now speaking to you, bub. Hey.
Oh, I'm too deadly.
Happy International Women's Day.
Yeah, same to you.
Yeah.
I love the theme for this year too, Be Bold for Change. It sounds so cool.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? I think that's something that Aboriginal women can take on, Be Bold for Change. We're good at that. Being bold and black,
yeah. Yeah.
Hey, so you present the Brekkie Show, hey, up in Cherbourg Aboriginal community. For those mob who don't know, how do we describe where Cherbourg's located, sis?
We're probably about 3 hours northwest of Brisbane. We're near Kingaroy, the peanut capital.
Yeah.
And, we're right here in the heart of South Bennett, Waka Waka country.
Ah, deadly. Good to speak to a deadly Waka Waka woman this morning, sis? But you've got connections down here as well, with your sister girl?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've got my sister girl down there, Sarah, and, of course, I've got all my Collier family down there in Victoria there as well.
So. Yeah, too deadly. Yeah. So we're sort of called Couries down here, but up that way we're Murrays, eh? So you like got both a bit of the Couri-Murray thing going on, eh? You do?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Murray,
yeah. So you present the Brekkie Show up there at Cherbourg Radio, hey? How long have you been doing that for, sis?
I've been working 11 years now with Sherbeg Radio. I've only been doing the Brekkie program probably, when I started it? February last year, so just over a year since I've been doing the Brekkie program.
And that's deadly that you've got a woman presenting a breakfast show up there at Sherbeg. I reckon that's deadly. Hey, what's it like with your broadcasters up there? Do you have a lot of women doing shows on the station, Sis?
There's only myself and another girl there as well, Mindy.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've only got two other broadcasters there as well, Uncle Rory and Big Chance.
Yeah.
So, it's lean on staff, but...
But working hard, I bet, eh?
work hard, all right, but we love it.
That's it. Do you think we should be seeing, do we have enough Aboriginal women working in the media across Australia, do you think, Chrissy?
Well, I think there's been quite a lot of women already represented. I mean, definitely could see a whole lot more, but, you know, it's fantastic to see... more Aboriginal women, I suppose, getting into media.
Yeah, that's right.
Radio or TV or whatever it is.
So, yeah, true. Because our voices...
I think there is a good representation already, but, you know, never hurts to get more, eh?
That's it. And what's happening up in Sherbrooke? Is there anything happening for International Women's Day up there? Is Auntie Ada Simpson is from the Ration Shed, which is our little museum up there, eh? Has Auntie Ada organised anything? I'm sure she would have, eh?
Yeah, well, there is a big luncheon happening very shortly, if not now.
Lovely.
They're at the Ration Shed, and all the women from Sherbeg and surrounding districts are invited to get along there for that. And, they can check out the Ration Shed there as well when they're there.
That's lovely. For those of us who don't know, like me and you, we know very well what the Ration Shed is. Years ago, it used to be the Ration Shed, where our old people, our parents, would, mums would line up, and for the rations, eh?
Yeah, they get all the rations from the old days, and
Mum used to tell me from when Mum was little, she said some of the rations, like they'd give you flour and tea and sugar, but they used to give them like dog bones, And Mum goes, we used to throw them dog bones away,
They used to get the bones, and as part of the rations, you know, and of course all the superintendents and all that got all the lovely meat, but, you know, they loved the old pea and hen soup with just the old bones and whatnot, eh?
Yeah, that's it, eh? Yeah. Oh, stop it. You're making me want my mum's pea and ham soup now. So the ration place, what has it become now? Auntie Ada's created this beautiful place, hasn't she? What's it like now, Chrissy?
Auntie Ada and Auntie Sandra Morgan.
Sorry, Auntie Sandra.
The driving force. They've both been the driving force behind the ration shed, and it just keeps growing and growing, and every... now and again, they bring out new exhibitions, but I think the last exhibition they had was the sporting exhibition celebrating all the awesome Sherbeg sports people that have come out of here, you know, the likes of Eddie Gilbert and Jeffrey Denovo, you know, with boxing, et cetera.
Kathy Freeman from her grandfather, Frankie Fisher, of course, eh?
Yeah, well, it was not so much Kathy Freeman that was celebrated in the thing, but her grandfather now was...
Old Frankie Fisher celebrated?
He was a footballer and he was celebrated, yeah.
I hope old Jack O'Chin was celebrated, my grandfather. I hope so.
Yeah, he was, I'm sure.
And my other one, Grandfather Bumper Hegarty.
Yeah, I'm sure too.
So, there you go.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's just one of the exhibitions that goes through there, and, of course, that's only one part of the Ration Shed. It's sort of a timeline of Sherbeg, I suppose, from the old days back when it was Baramba through to now. It's like as a reminder of what our elders and ancestors have gone through to what we have now.
And what's it like for you as a young woman, sis? You know, when you go to the ration shed, you know, you get a real sense of what our old people went through, eh? Not only looking at all them photos and what's on display, but also having those old stories from the old people with you as well. How do you feel when you go in the ration shed?
It saddens me that, you know, that our elders and that had to go through all of that, but then, you know, it empowers me to move on.
Yep.
To make the future better for my children, you know.
That's right. And it's a bright place, isn't it, for our young ones coming through now, eh? Cherbourg, you've got the Cherbourg State School there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So many opportunities there for our kids that they can grab.
That's right, eh? And your young son is down at boarding school, eh? So he's sort of down in the big smoke at boarding school. How's young Puffin going?
He's loving it, hey. You know, he grabbed that opportunity. Was the Queensland Reds offered help to get him into the boarding school. So, he grabbed that opportunity with both hands and he's just, going great guns with it.
Oh, does Mama miss him, though? He's away at boarding school now. I bet Mama's...
Hey. No. I'm missing him, but, you know, well, at least I know that he's doing well at school and safe and, you know, I'll get to grab him come school holidays.
And have you watched little Puffin Chris just grow up into a young man in the time that he's been away at school, Bub?
Oh, yeah.
I bet, eh?
I mean, before he had the high pitch and then he come home and he had a deep voice and I'm like,
Oh, bless. Yeah. What happened? He went away at a high-pitched voice, come back with deep voice, eh? Oh,
yeah,
Mama.
Puberty hit.
Yeah, puberty hit. Then Mum missed it. But you got the other end of it. That's all right, eh? Oh.
Yeah.
Bless. Well, there you go. I was gonna play a Cherbourg song up next. Ripstick. Have you heard of that from Cherbourg?
Oh, yeah.
What's that about? I haven't heard of that before, but it's in my music system here. I thought I'd better play that next.
That was from when my daughter was in grade 7 up here at the Cherbourg State School.
Kalina,
they all got in and recorded these songs. I think it was with Brisbane's 98.9 FM. They come up here and did some work with our kids. And they produced a Ripstick song.
How lovely, because, you know, I've got so many songs, like Blackfella songs, in my audio system here at the station, but the first one I found that I was going to play is a Ripstick, and I can't believe my little niece is in this. That's just beautiful. Hey, you wouldn't write about it. Yeah, like my mum said, you wouldn't write about it, Chrissy. so what does the rest of International Women's Day hold for you? Because we're going to let you go in a minute, eh? So you could probably head off to that lunch if you want at the ration shed.
Oh, I've got a few things I've got to be doing first there, and I'm going to do my little taxi service here shortly.
You're the Cherbourg taxi, eh?
sort of, kind of, yeah.
Hey, how's that little car running? Going good ways?
Oh, bless her. It's just beautiful now that I've got it fixed.
Oh, that's deadly. But everybody's been wanting your taxi, sis.
When you get a service.
Everybody's been wanting your taxi now they know your car's fixed, eh?
Oh, truly. I'll have to throw away the keys at the end of the weekend.
Yeah, throw away the keys, eh? That's it. And just say, I don't know where the keys are. That's it. Taxi's closed. Just tell them the taxi's closed. Tell them to go use Uber.
Hey, Uber. I don't know where Uber in Cherbourg.
No, you could start an app, mission app for mission Uber app. there's a business idea for you, sis.
That's deadly, I'm
not
allowed to do that.
Oh, too deadly. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for joining me on the Black Noise Radio Show today. It's the very first one I've done right here at 3CR. So thank you, my sister, for making it special. Hey.
Oh, good.
Yeah, all good. All right, I better go now. I want to play that Ripstick song, though. Did you want to introduce it for us? I'll let you introduce it, Chrissy.
All right. Well, this was a song that was produced a couple of years ago, and this is the Cherbourg Children singing Ripstick.
Too deadly. Chrissy Collier-Bond, love you, cuz. I'll talk to you soon, eh?
Okay, later, bye.
Later, happy International Women's Day. You're listening to 3CR Radio 855. It's about 7 minutes away from midday. My name's Black Betty, and you're listening to a very special International Day, International Women's Day broadcast, not only for this hour, but all day. Fabulous women yarning up on the radio all day. So make sure you keep listening to 3CR. We also stream live at www.3cr.org.au. Big thanks to Judith Ryan, a senior curator of Aboriginal art from the National Gallery of Victoria, for coming on the program today and telling us all about the beautiful artwork on display for the exhibition Who's Afraid of Colour, featuring artworks of all art forms, from paintings to weavings, art installations, of course, sculptures, all happening at the NGV till about the 18th of November. There'll be a couple of galleries open till the end of the year as well for that. So let's go to that song now that Chrissy's just introduced. This is Ripstick Cherbourg. Ripstick out of Cherbourg from a couple of years back now. Big thanks also to my sister girl Chrissy Collier-Bond there for joining me from Cherbourg Aboriginal Radio. Thanks so much, sis, for joining me from Up the Mish today. So lovely to have you on the program. Also thanks to Judith Ryan for coming on. Now, it's nearly time for me to get on out of here, about 4 minutes away from midday. And hope you've enjoyed the program, Black Noise Radio, coming to you. We'll be back on the airwaves very soon, and I hope to catch you then. I hope you have a very special International Women's Day. I hope you enjoy it. Take time for yourself, or take time to do something good for another woman in the community. Why not? Because when we support each other, that's when we do really deadly things, eh? I've got a giveaway, I'm very proud to say, right now. If you'd like to give us a call here at the station, the first caller through will win a very fabulous prize. It's Together We Are Strong, the Song People's Sessions. It's a double CD by Shelley Morris and the Burraloola Song Women. Since we're celebrating all things women today, I've got a double CD giveaway, the Song People's Sessions. Give me a call now. Black Betty, 94198377. That number again, 3CR 94198377. If you want to win that copy of the Song People Sessions with the Shelley Morris and the Burraloola Song Women, how about we go to one of their tracks off that CD now? And this is one of those beautiful songs. There's a lot in language, and this one is Lullaby. Right here on 3CR 855 AM. Black Betty here with you for Black Noise Radio.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.